So, grace is a great church word, but grace is also a great dance word, too. And that kind of combination of the mystery of the theological idea of grace and the idea of gracefulness has been an exploration, a journey that I've been on for almost 50 years now. I didn't really claim myself as a dancer at this point, but the first time I kind of stepped into it was when I was a sophomore in high school, and they drafted all the boys in the chorus to dance in the ballroom scene. And it was really, I thought that was great fun. So it was like all musicals all the time for the rest of my high school career. I took up modern dance in college, and it just kind of went from there. I don't know where this kind of intersection of the church and the dance stuff started, but I know when it came into focus. I grew up in the Methodist church, but I was living in Indianapolis, Indiana. I grew up in Indiana. Turns out that I have a fellow Hoosier in the space. And I was going to a Mennonite church. And it was there that I did my first dance in church. Now, if you know anything about Mennonites, you know this is highly ironic. It's one of God's great jokes that that's the way that worked out. But there was a woman in the congregation who was the music leader, and she was an artist in a variety of ways. And we started playing around with the intersection of art and worship, and dance was one of those things. And it kind of went from there, even after I moved to California to go to graduate school. And I've ended up making a cottage industry of thinking about and playing with the intersection of physicality and spirituality. Now, grace is one of those things that I think as a theological idea, we kind of take it for granted, but it's a little bit hard, I think, to understand. We know it's the word that they often use in relationship to grace, that it's unmerited. Now, one reading of that word unmerited is we don't really deserve it. But another reading of it is like we don't really need to do anything in order to receive it. We don't have had to accomplish anything in order to receive it. And it is kind of a mystery. Although I must say that I think kind of what I learned, which is what I call the snowflake theory of grace. Grace is going to flutter down like snow or petals from God in heaven, and if I'm standing at the right place at the right time, some of it might fall on me. And that's a fine way to think about it, that it could happen at any time. But the idea that I don't have much agency in it, well, that's another thing to think about. But over time, in the work that I've been doing, I started to think about the physicality of grace. And in the work that I've been doing for over the past 30, 35 years or so, we've taken a slight step out of the church proper, but we've still held on to the idea of spirituality and physicality. So we decided, and I don't know if this took a lot of nerve, we decided to think about grace in as a physical experience. And the way that we talked about it with people is that we contrasted it with stress. So if you think about that, anyone experienced stress at any time in your life? Yeah, maybe. And you know what, if when you're feeling stressed, things are happening in your body. You might upset your stomach, you might be feeling nervous, you might get tight. Anyone, can you relate to all of that? Yeah. Okay, so what if we were to think about the opposite of that experience? I mean, it's interesting, first of all, let's just note that even though we have all these symptoms of stress, we also have a word to describe it as a whole, stress. We use that to describe a whole range of experiences. But I'm not sure we had really a word on the other side to describe that feeling that might be more about relaxation or openness or ease or delight or laughter or whatever. And on our work, we've decided to name that grace, the physicality of grace. So not thinking so much about the kind of cosmic origins of grace, but just how it feels in our bodies. And then what creates it? Like, what situations am I in? Who am I with? What am I doing that I might have that experience? And we've asked that question of people thousands of times all over the world. And people say similar things. They say things like being in nature, being with family. Sometimes they talk about spiritual experience. But oftentimes they're saying things like, oh, being able to take an afternoon nap. So if we think about that physical experience, if we think about the things that can create it, then we might even be able to create more of it for ourselves and perhaps for others. Like if I know that a walk in the woods creates grace for me, I can take a walk in the woods. I can't be guaranteed that I'll have the experience, but based on past experience, it might be quite likely. And my guess is that if you were to think for more than a minute or two, you could think of things in your own life that create grace for you. Anyone have grandkids? Yeah, I've got 3 grandkids. Okay, I have to tell you a quick grandkid story. I don't have children myself, but my partner has 3 kids, and they have kids. And like when the first one was born, I wasn't really sure if I got to claim myself as a grandfather. I had relationships with his children, but not, you know, real close, certainly not kind of parental. It's like, do I get to be a grandparent? So I decided to buy my way in, and it worked. And now I've got 3 of them, and they take it for granted. So anyway, that's a diversion. But, you know, grandkids, that can be a source of grace, the physicality of grace, don't you think? Yeah. Grace is still a mystery. It just is. I mean, what is it about ourselves that we get to have this? And how is it that the source of it can be infinite? There's no limit on grace. And I can have my big pile of grace, and you can have your big pile of grace, and you can have your big pile of grace. Everyone can have a big pile of grace. And just from a purely physical point of view, what I believe is that in the same way that stress breaks down the body, grace, the experience of grace, fills it up. We have, where I live, we have a building cat. And the building cat and I talk. We have a little chat each night when I go out and feed him. And then he comes in and I pet him for a while. He's semi-feral, so he's only so friendly. But he'll come in and I'll stroke him and he will purr. So I just want you to think about the things that make you purr. Because I figure that when he's purring, that's good for him. In the same way, when we experience grace, that's good for us as well. Jesus is the physicality of God's grace. God chose to make godness flesh. And we can have all of the conversations about Jesus' humanity and his divinity. You know that that's actually, again, one of the realities of the body is that more than one thing can be true at a time. Jesus can be human and he can be divine at the same time. But he was human. He was flesh and blood, just like us. And we can see Jesus through the stories. We can hear him. We can feel him. We can be present with him. The word made flesh. The source of grace is still infinite. It's still mysterious. It may or may not be merited. Actually, don't tell anyone I told you this, but I think we all deserve it. I have found in my own life, and I've heard the stories of other people around me who have chosen to focus on grace as an organizing principle for the way that we live. And we can see what the fruits of grace are. We can see which qualities play well with grace. Grace and generosity play well together. Grace and kindness play well together. Grace and acceptance, tolerance, play well together. Grace and hatred, they don't play together so well. Grace and retribution, they don't play together very well. So when we center grace in our lives, we also gather around us all those other things that are so helpful and valuable in our lives, the things that give our lives richness and meaning and possibility. I have been graced by other people in my life. And if other people can be grace makers for me, I assume that I might be a grace maker for others. So what if we were to think of ourselves as being grace makers in the world? As being sources of that mysterious and infinite quality coming through us to others. This is all very possible. And just think if that were to spread widely in the world, how things might be different. So grace is at our fingertips. It's in every cell and muscle and bone and fiber in our bodies. It's in all the mysterious connections between us. It's just in the atmosphere. It suffuses God's creation. We celebrate that, and we receive it, and we pass it on. Amen.